Trust is vital for knowing God and growing His kingdom. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to trust God with our resources.
God wants your continual trust in Him to reflect out in a life that's departing from evil, that is distinct and holy unto Him. God wants us to trust Him with our stewardship. God says, let's see that evidence in your life every day. And then He says, to make it real practical, I want you to trust me with your stewardship.
At times, life can seem like an endless cycle of hopelessness. In our series, The Difference Jesus Makes, we will discover that no matter what is taking place in our lives, we can always turn to Jesus. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Whatever you may be facing, believe that Jesus understands and has a plan for your life. When we bring our problems to the Lord and trust Him to take care of our needs, He will make a difference in our lives like no one else can. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Trusting God Makes a Difference.
The Bible is so very clear that God wants us looking for Him in His Word and looking for His direction each and every day. When our girls were young, maybe 15 or 20 years ago, I would leave the office after a long day's work, and sometimes I'd call ahead and tell my wife I was on my way home. And oftentimes, as I would come home, I'd turn around the corner, I'd see two little faces peering out through the window, maybe through the blinds, and sometimes those little cheeks up against the glass. And then I'd come in the driveway, and their eyes would get wide, and the door would open. They'd say, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy's home. They'd grab me around the knees, and we'd wrestle around a while and play and maybe sing some songs, enjoy some time together. I mean, they were wired up like they'd been eating coffee beans all day or something. They just couldn't wait to see me when I got home. And you know, they loved seeing Daddy. And I wonder, when was the last time that you really looked forward to being with God like that? When you were just acknowledging His presence, and when you came to church just waiting to see God at work in your life, and when you opened the Bible anxious to hear what God had for you, acknowledging Him. You see, He says, I want you to trust me with a surrendered heart. I want you to look for my way with great joy in your life. But notice, secondly, trusting the Lord not only means a surrendered heart, but it means a heart of sincerity. God says, I want you to trust me with sincerity. You see, here's one of the great problems of the Christian life. A lot of people say, oh yeah, trust God. I've done that for years. I trust God. But it's not always with the kind of heart that we see described here in the text. Notice verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Very quickly, I want you to notice that sincerity is humble. When someone is really sincere about trusting God, there's a humility in their life. There is such a God consciousness and God dependability, God dependence, that there is obviously a humble Christian in your midst. Romans 12, 16, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, one of God's antidotes to help us from becoming proud is that we are to walk in the fear of the Lord. Notice that, if you would, in verse 7. Fear the Lord. You see, that is the opposite of being filled with conceit. One who has the fear of God has an awareness constantly of the awesome power of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. Proverbs 16, 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You know why our penitentiaries are so filled in California today? You know why we cannot build prisons fast enough? Because America has lost this concept of the fear of God. There's no fear for God. There's no fear of His precepts. And the fact is that when someone is trusting the Lord, they walk in the fear of the Lord, because this matter of sincerity is evidenced with humility. William Carey was a man who walked with great humility, perhaps the greatest Baptist missionary that ever lived, the father of modern missions. Here's a man who translated the Bible into more than 20 languages. He started churches. He started a college that's still functioning in India today. Many years later, and he said to his family, on my gravestone I want these words etched, a wretched, poor, and helpless worm On thy kind arms I fall. He said, that's what I am. Apart from acknowledging God and getting His direction, I'm just a worm. How many of you would say this morning, I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God? But we need to be reminded of that, because sometimes we get into that autonomous mode where we're doing what we want to do and we don't acknowledge God as we should. And so sincerity is humble. Secondly, sincerity is holy. Someone who's trusting God and fearing God, listen to me, their life is different. If you're trusting the Lord in all your ways, and if you're walking in the fear of God, then you're not going to be more and more like the world. You're going to be more and more like God. You say, well, my friends think I'm weird. That's all right. You're not to live in the fear of man. You're to live in the fear of God. And the Bible is clear about this. Notice that in verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Let's read the next four words, please. And depart from evil. Let's say it again. And depart from evil. Sincerity is holy. A sincere Christian lives a holy, separated life. Romans 16:19. Notice the last part of that verse. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. All right, let's say that last phrase of that verse together. Ready to begin. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. All right, wise to the good, simple to the evil. Okay? The average 8 or 9 year old knows more curse words than you knew by age 30. They're wise to evil and simple to good. That's why we guard the television, the internet. That's why we have to be vigilant as parents and with our own minds as well. Why? Because if we are really acknowledging God and walking in the fear of the Lord, then we're going to depart from evil. We're not going to know every latest dirty joke. We're not going to know every latest device of Satan, but we are going to walk with sincerity. You know, that's exactly what God wants. Whether it's you tomorrow at Northrop or on the police force or at the hospital, or in the grocery store, God wants your continual trust in Him to reflect out in a life that's departing from evil, that is distinct and holy unto Him. And so we trust God with a surrendered heart, and we trust God with a sincere heart, a practical Christianity. Notice finally with me this morning, God wants us to trust Him with our stewardship. Now you'll notice this message moves from philosophical, if you will, into the practical with every step. God says, give me your heart, all of it. God says, let's see that evidence in your life every day. And then He says, to make it real practical, I want you to trust me with your stewardship. Let's see that in verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, here we see God in the realm of stewardship speaks about our use of His substance that He gives to us. Larry Burkett said something I liked very much. God will use money to strengthen our trust in Him. It is often through money that God clearly and objectively shows us that He is God and in control of everything. J. Vernon McGee, the old pastor that pastored down at Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles years ago, J. Vernon McGee often said, you can tell a man's character by reading his checkbook ledger. And on that checkbook ledger should be God, oftentimes, and the work of God through His local church. Larry Burkett says this as well. He says, it is through the use of money that God strengthens our trust in Him. So he says, I want you to trust me with your whole heart. And one of the ways that that is fleshed out is how do we trust Him in the realm of finances? So let's study that for a moment as we have this time of stewardship these few weeks. Notice, first of all, we are to trust Him with our things. Trust Him with our things. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance. So what substance has He given to you? And here's the question. Before you sell something, before you trade something, when you get a paycheck, what does God want you to do with that? Well, we know very basically He wants us to trust Him with it. And He wants us to say every time, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And we know from this text that one of the things He wants us to do when we sell something, when we make something, is to give Him the first fruits of this. Because the substance came from Him. Honor the Lord with thy substance. I like the story of the preacher that went out and talked to the rancher one day. And he went out on the ranch and he said, now, Joe, let me ask you a question. He said, if you had 100 cows and God wanted you to sell 50 of them for His work, would you give God 50 of the 100? He goes, well, preacher, I sure would. You know I would. He said, well, that's wonderful. He said, now, if you had 50 horses, would you be willing to sell 25 of those horses for the work of the Lord? He said, absolutely, pastor. If God wanted me to do that, I'd do that. He said, now, let me ask you this, Joe. He said, if you had 2 hogs, would you be willing to sell one of those hogs for the work of the Lord? And he said, now, Pastor, that ain't fair. You know I've got two hogs. Now, we're always willing to do something with, you know, an idea of what might be or with a mystical kind of a concept out there. But are we truly willing to trust the Lord with our whole heart? And are we willing to trust him when he gives us substance to use for his glory? You see, stewardship is not about raising money, but stewardship is about raising Christians who truly trust God. You see, and that's what this is about. Someone might walk out of here, depending on one's heart, someone could walk out of here today and go, well, the preacher's preaching about, you know, this thing about money. And someone else might walk out and say, seemed like the preacher was trying to get me to trust God today. And one of the ways we show our trust is by honoring him with the first fruits of his blessings in our life. One church that did that in a spectacular way in the New Testament was the church at Philippi. Paul wrote a letter to them called the Book of Philippians. And in that letter, he thanked them for giving so much to his missionary work. This Philippian church supported the work of the Apostle Paul. Notice what it says here. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Do you know when we give offerings to further the work of God, it's a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God. And Paul said, it wasn't about a gift for me, but it was about fruit that abounds to your account. Do you know people get saved in this church every week that you may not even meet until heaven someday? But did you know that as you and I give to this work, that is fruit that abounds to our account, and that there's a credit, if you will, of eternal proportion because we are faithful with the substance that God gives to us. So God says, I want you to trust me with your things. Notice secondly, he says, I want you to trust me with your offerings. Now let's see where this is mentioned in the Bible. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance. That's the things. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. Did you find that verse? Let's read it together, okay? Proverbs 3:9, ready, begin. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the Now the first fruits, God wants the first part of everything. How many of you believe that God deserves the very first part of everything? That's what he says, the first fruits. The tithe or the 10% concept is simply taken from the Bible, where the Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. The first fruit speaks about when God blesses us with something, we don't see what we can do when everything else is taken care of, but by faith, we honor the Lord first. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye, say it with me, first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God says, I want you to honor me with your offerings. There we have the challenge to give. Now, one man said to his pastor, Pastor, I just can't tithe. And I remember when Terry and I, before we were even married, nearly 30 years ago, we were talking about this while we were dating and about tithing. And we had read a book about Christian dating. And one of the chapters was on a budget and having a budget and tithing. And we just looked at the numbers and we figured out in a hurry that it didn't make sense on paper to tithe. And yet we also had to learn the Christian life is not always about sight, but it's about faith. And so we made that commitment as a young couple. Well, this man went up to his pastor. He said, I can't tithe. The pastor said, all right, I'll make you a deal. He said, how about if I guarantee that you give as much as you can, and then I'll make up the rest for you. So if you can give 6% or 7%, I'll throw in the 4 or 5%, whatever we need to do to make up the difference. How'd that be? And the man said, well, that'd be fine. All right, I'll do that. He said, I'll let you know every week if I fall short. And the pastor said, now think about what you just did. You said that you couldn't trust God to tithe, but you would trust me as a man. You know, folks, all of us need to learn how to trust God each and every day. You know, there's a very interesting word in verse 9. It says this, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. The word honor was an interesting study for me this week, because the word honor has with it the meaning of heaviness or seriousness. God says, I want you to be heavy about this, not in the sense of a burden that we carry, but in the sense of a seriousness as opposed to taking it lightly. You know, many people don't honor the Lord in this matter. And if you're a new Christian or you're just really trying to get involved in giving, I'm not speaking against you today, but I do want to challenge you. Don't take this lightly. Take it with honor. Take it with honor. Honor the Lord from your heart with the first fruits of all of your increase. What does the Bible tell us about the matter of offerings? Because at Lancaster Baptist Church, we want to do what we do because the Bible says so. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now the first day of the week is what, class? Great. On the first day of the week. So Sunday, here we are celebrating the resurrection. On the first day of the week, let every one of you. Now in the Greek, every one of you means every one of you. All right, good. You're doing good. All right. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. That is to give to the Lord. Lay by him in store as God hath prospered. Now, God prospers everybody differently. And so God wants us to give proportionately. It's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice that we practice and that we give unto the Lord. In the Old and in the New Testament, there are many hundreds of scriptures that teach that a part of our worship to God is our giving. So there's a challenge to give. But notice also there is a promise of provision. Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, God promises that he will provide for us. Now, that doesn't mean that in every case you give and all of a sudden he's pouring buckets of money. It does in many cases mean that God provides a job, God provides an income. But how many of you have learned that God blesses in a whole lot of other ways as well? It might be saving the lost soul of a loved one. It might be your health. It might be in some other area of provision. It is a promise that God says, you remember me, I will remember you. That's what God says. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's the promise of the Word of God. It's not a game that we play. I heard about one man who met the Lord. He said, Lord, what is a million years to you? The Lord said, well, it's like a second. The man said, well, then what is $10 million to you? The Lord said, well, it's like a dime. The man said, well, then can I borrow a dime? The Lord said, just a second. Now, a lot of times people try to manipulate this thing of giving. We don't do this to play a game with God. We do this to honor God. I like the way it is written in Malachi chapter 3. Notice that if you would. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of the host, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, notice this phrase, prove me. What's that next word say? Now, all right? Now, the storehouse in the Old Testament was the temple. In the New Testament, it's the local church. And God says, I want you to prove me now. Now, there have been studies done about this. People who try to start tithing on the gradual method rarely tithe. Only 3 or 4% of all tithers started gradually. Most people who tithe just started trusting God with that 10%, saying, Lord, we're going to trust you to provide. And they avoided procrastination and they proved now the Lord. Every time we give, every Sunday, we're proving God. We're saying, Lord, I trust you. I'm testing you. I believe in you. I'm trusting you. Because the Bible does say in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. And this is the promise that God has in the scripture. Sir Henry Taylor said, I have tried to keep things in my hands and lost them all. But what I have given into the hands of God, I still possess. What a great thought. Thank God there are souls being saved here in this church and around the world through our missionaries. And these are the eternal works of God that we will never, ever lose. You know, years ago, our church was being blessed. The year was about 1994, 95. We had built the North Auditorium. We had the North Auditorium building and a modular building. And that was it. And I mean, I remember walking into that North Auditorium when it was done and thinking, this is the biggest room I've ever seen in my life. How are we ever going to fill it up? I was just a little worried about the whole thing and building this big building program and so forth. And those of you who were here December of 1994, you might remember, we packed that building out. God just filled it right up. And then we went to double services and chairs setting up and all these things. And it was just a matter of weeks before I realized we're going to have to build another one of these big buildings like this. And the thought scared me half to death, and I prayed and prayed and finally got enough courage to talk to some people about it. And we're going to need a new auditorium, and a lot of them were already saying, yeah, and the ushers were saying, yeah, we do. And during that time, the economy in the mid-90s was really going through something. I'll never forget opening the USA Today paper, and I have the copy of that paper still in my study. The headline said, Lancaster Palmdale Foreclosure Capital of America. By the way, our influence has since spread nationwide. But back then, we had the sole claim to fame, you know. Boom and bust, you know, and we were busted. And I remember reading that, and we'd already started talking to some architects about this building, and the old devil jumped right up on my shoulder and started talking right in my ear. Does he ever do that to you? I thought I could smell him, but then I noticed it was just a lady smoking next to me, but I was pretty sure it was a devil too. And that old devil said, you will be the dumbest, most stupid Baptist pastor that ever preached if you tell those folks it's time to build another building. You need to wait for several years before you build another building. And the devil was fighting me on doing what I knew God wanted us to do. And somehow, by the grace of God and through some time of prayer and seeking counsel, I came to our church and I said, folks, our theme this year is going to be called God is Able. He is Able. And by the grace of God, we're going to start towards a building program. And many of you will recall in the year 2000 when we dedicated this building, and about a year or so after that, we completely finished paying for this building. Why? Because this, for 23 years, has been a church filled with people who trust in the Lord with all of their heart and who honor Him with their substance and who honor Him with their offerings. And my friends, today I submit to you, this is not the year to stop having faith in God. This is the year to keep trusting our Lord. By the way, I wonder if you have trusted the Lord with your eternal destiny. Did you know the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise? Do you know, I thank God that on April the 5th, 1972, as a young boy in San Jose, California, I realized for the first time that I was a sinner, that I was separated from God, and I realized that Jesus died for my sin. And I called out to the Lord and asked Him to forgive my sin and be my Savior, and I'm thankful that He sealed me that day with the power of His Spirit, and from that day until this day, I have been a child of God because of His grace. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Do you know what I did that day? I trusted my soul's keeping. I trusted my eternal destiny to God. I said, Lord, I ask You to come into my heart and save me from my sin and take me to heaven for all of eternity. And my friend, if you have never done that, then the first step of trust you need to make is that step of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Trust in the Lord as your Savior. Oh, today it's so important that you would turn to Jesus. Turn from everything else. Turn from Mohammed. Turn from Joseph Smith. Turn from materialism. Turn from religion. And turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. Have you trusted Jesus Christ with your eternity? Then I ask you this, are you trusting Jesus Christ with your substance today? If you say, yes, I'm saved, then are you trusting the Lord with all your heart? And are you honoring Him with the first fruits of His blessings in your life? Because my friend, God is calling on us today to trust in Him with all of our heart, not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways, including financially, to trust Him and to honor Him and to lean on Him, the one who will never, ever fail.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, Simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.